Yeah, okay. Meeting is started. Unfortunately, our chair's time limit ended in December, so our vice chair isn't here to run this meeting, so I'm going to run the meeting. But one of the first things, well, so we'll go through and do introductions. So my name is Kevin Hotman, I'm the city traffic engineer.
Tony Martin, assistant city traffic engineer.
Nate Levin.
They're outside. We'll get them.
I'm John Latimer. I'm sort of representing the Swan Neighborhood Association in some ways.
Cheryl Hummond, new a year ago.
Victor Donier. I'm here representing the South Central Association of Neighbors, SCAN.
I'm Ben Fryback. I'm here as an individual, but I'm a member of Morningside.
My name is Kyle Hedquist. I'm a member of the Highland Neighborhood.
I am Jackie Roche, first time here.
New CATSE member.
Yes.
And I am Ramona Murtha, also new.
And I am Kelly Richardson. I'm a staff assistant here with City of Salem. And I would just like to say for the record, this is the January 8th, 2025 CATSE meeting recording.
My name is Beth Schmidt, and I live in the Swan Neighborhood Association.
That's a good place to live. So do I.
So next up is approval of the agenda. Does everybody has a copy of the agenda? Is there any questions or comments or additions?
I'd like to, since we don't have a full body, should we postpone the election of the chair and vice chair until, because it would be weird nominating Kenneth to be chair if he's not here and doesn't want it.
I know, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. Like if he wanted it, or if he doesn't really want it.
If he doesn't want it, then right. Who else would step up? So maybe postpone that for till the next meeting?
Okay, that's later on.
I know, but you asked for changes to the agenda. I was paying attention.
We could flip a coin.
I would second the suggested amendment.
Okay. All in favor of postponing election of chair and vice chair until next meeting, say aye.
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 I have a question. Any questions?
Oh. Sorry.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
That means you're not going to be able to do this until March.
No.
Because you don't meet again until March, correct?
Yes.
So then we just sit with no full body then?
No, we still have a full body. We just haven't elected the chair.
So
we will be acting chair tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March.
So instead of electing them now, we'll do it in March when everybody's here.
Okay.
Sorry. Back to the all in favor. Aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay. That carries. Since we don't really, I'm not sure we're going to do minutes, let's delay the minutes as well. Because we have, I guess, has everybody got and read the minutes?
Yes.
Does anybody have any questions about the minutes? So I guess we accept the minutes.
We need a motion to accept the minutes, Nate.
So moved.
Second.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
We do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we have 9 members and there are 7 here tonight.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Is there any, next is public comment. We have two folks from the public. Do you have anything
well,
you want to say?
Well, do you want me to talk to the request that we're making now, that SCAN is making now concerning pavement markings, or when you get to that item?
Yeah, if it's an item on the agenda, let's wait until we do the presentation.
I'll be with you.
Any other items? Okay.
I had the same thing. So.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So I guess we'll get right to the discussion of bike markings. So what I did was there's a couple of handouts. One of the emailed items that CATSI members got was the letter from Scan Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so you guys have that, and you hopefully had a chance to read that. I'm not going to go through it. Victor can talk about it if there's questions. I also passed out the design standards. It is the vice chair.
Sorry, we got traffic.
Same traffic.
Oh. We have everybody. So I'm giving up my short tenure.
It was wild, too. It was out of control.
All of you were watching, and I still...
Yeah, he was in charge, and he was running roughshod over us.
I have very little purpose for having a gavel, but... whatever, I guess, for a session. Not that we weren't already.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talked about was delaying voting for chair and vice chair. Since the chair time limited out in December, you're acting chair tonight.
Yep.
And since we didn't have you, we decided to delay voting for chair and vice chair. But I guess that can change now.
Can he be given another term?
Kentwine?
On the board?
Nick Kentwine?
Yeah.
No.
He had limited out.
You can only serve two terms, and then you have to be off, and then you can come back.
Oh.
So he's term limited for now. But he can come back.
Do we need a motion to...
Yeah, so let's start over, I guess. Can we... all in favor of rescinding the motion to wait on voting for... CATSI chair and vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed? So now I'm going to hand over the reins to the vice chair.
All right. So I'll hear any nominations for chair and vice chair. I'll nominate myself with chair. Any nominations for vice chair? Anyone that would like to also put up their name for chair? Anyone that doesn't take vice chair, I'm just going to pick a number out of a hat and appoint somebody. Well, I guess I'll at least start by saying, by putting up a motion to hearing no other nominations. I guess all in favor of electing me as chair, say aye.
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 Opposition nay. Motion passes. All right, seriously, we do need a vice chair.
I'll put my name in the hat. Why not?
It works for me.
Okay. I trust your leadership, Ken.
Okay. Kyle has made a nomination. I do also thinking of a few other folks that would be interesting, but John has been with us for a very long time, and he has been of great assistance. But if you don't want to serve as vice or put your name
up... Oh, I don't want to get...
If you do, I will definitely...
I don't want to get into an argument with... He's bigger than me.
I'm coming from a nice neighborhood, though.
All right. Anyone else want to put in their name in the hat? Or we're just going to go with Kyle as the only named nominee? All right. Hearing nothing else, all in favor of approval of Kyle as vice chair, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Station A passes. Perfect.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know how much
Kevin,
time
back
I've
to
got
you.
Throwing people off of here.
Alrighty.
Okay. So we'll go back. So what I've handed out was the. So before I had started, was we had sent an email out to all the CATSI members. With the letter from Scan Neighborhood, and it describes their position on profile versus unprofiled. So the other attachment that I handed out to you guys is the standard plan detail for our striping.
Did you
markings.
Get it?
Because I don't have a copy down here.
Let's send. Andrea, did you get one?
Yeah, we're sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm
sorry, actually. So this is in process for being adopted. There are some changes that we've incorporated in here that weren't in our last revisions, our last standards, but I wanted to include kind of all of them. We're going to focus on on the second page, detail O is the one that we're going to talk about tonight about a bike lane and whether it's profiled or not. But I wanted to hand out the whole packet to you so you can see kind of the other things. A lot of the changes that we're looking at adopting now are focused on bike striping. The M is all new, and it has how we're going to stripe for buffered bike lanes, and the striping changes depending on how wide the buffer is, whether it's just a slash or a kind of a V-shaped striping for the wider. And then on the second page, the top detail is kind of a way that we're going to use green bike markings to highlight where turning vehicles transition past the bike lane. So those are some new details that this includes. That's pretty much the main changes. One of the things that I do want to let you know is that if you go to the city's website, cityofsalem.net, you can type in this area here and just type in standard. I'm going to do it so you can see what comes up. So,
click search.
So you'll get this, and you'll scroll down to standard. Yeah, right here. So you scroll down to standard plans, construction specs. You click on here, and this is the place where you can find these plans. They're under streets. So here you can see this is standard plan number 322, A, B, and C. So it's in this area. And you can find out anything you want to know about catch basins, signal poles. It just kind of gives you an idea of driveways. If you want to know about driveways, it gives you a chance to just see a lot of different things. But also over here, if you click on mailing list and you register, you can get notifications of when we do signal plan changes. So
or striping.
Striping or any plan changes. So you can be involved, and then when you get notice, if you have comments, that's your opportunity to provide comments. But as CATSI, we're going to take your comments today and pass those on to the engineers that are doing the design, doing the standards.
Could you go back to the main page that you were on? I just didn't catch. I got the standards part. Thank you. No. Yeah.
Just go to City of Salem Home.
Yeah.
Oh, City of Salem Home?
Yeah.
No. Stop. Right where you are. I just wanted that type. No, don't scroll down.
Okay.
Right. I just want that title. I just wanted one to click on. I mean, I got the standards part, but okay, thank you.
Yeah. And so this has all of the details that we follow. But one of the things that we heard at a previous meeting, we had just done a recent bike lane projects on Commercial Street, a bike signal that crosses Liberty. And so there was questions about why those lines are smooth and why weren't they bumpy. And we call the bumps profiles. Mm-hmm. So if you look at your handout here, on the first page on the bottom under the legend, which would be right in here, This is the detail of what a profile versus a non-profile stripe is. So our standards in the past have been that we have not profiled the bike lane. We have profiles on like the center double yellow, we have profiles on the skip striping, but we had never done profiles on the bike lane. There are profiles on a bike lane on a couple projects in the city. Mildred Lane is one of them. I'm not sure how that got done that way. In fact, I was looking at Mildred and the profiles don't even match our standards, so I don't know what happened with that. But anyways, what it does is it provides a bump. It's like double the material every so many inches. Personally, I like the profile lines because when it's wet, having that thicker marking stands above the water a little bit and it's a little easier to see. I think the reason that we haven't had profiles on bike lanes was what I heard from some bicyclists in the past was they didn't like riding over them because of the bump. And also there's been questions about with the profiles in neighborhoods with residential, is that noise bothersome? And so I had asked somebody, I'd sent a question, and said, do you guys have concern about noise? Years ago, we, on Mildred Lane, where you're heading down towards Croizon Creek Road, there was a lot of speeding concerns, and they asked staff to look at providing like rumble strips. So we put buttons in the road and to try to kind of and an extra speed sign to try to kind of draw attention to slowing down. And we ended up having all the buttons removed. And so I put them back and they were all removed again. And so the neighbors removed them. They don't like the noise because they had night. So that's the question for you is so what I'm asking is not only do you want profile or non-profile? The other question I have is do we want to do profile in some instances or non-profile in others? Or do we want to do it for everything? So one of the thoughts I had was, you know, for streets like commercial, busy Lancaster, busy streets where there's not housing, we would do those as profile and maybe like Browning or places that we
South
have.
River Road?
River Road would be profiled because there's not housing. But, you know, places like Sherman or Browning or places where there's a lot of residents, do we want to do profile there or do we want to just do flat? So that's the question I'm kind of
Well, Sherman would be, and it might be an example of where you have, because it has a lot of turns and it's up and down, so it might be dangerous to have pro. I don't know.
Is Sherman over by Candelaria?
Yeah,
it's off River Road. Yeah, it's the one that goes up. So it's just that's a question for you. I think staff is okay either way. I mean, we've had non-profile, but I like profile. I think we both like profile because it does provide some extra vision. And then potentially if a car is over the line, it gives them a little bit of a vibration and noise that that they've crossed.
I think that the noise, I mean, yeah, it might be something to consider for a residential neighborhood, but at the same time, it really, I mean, I've used that noise sometimes like, oh, I'm a little close, you know? I mean, if a car hits that, they're not going to stay on it. They're going to be like, oh, let me get off this thing. So it might be a boom, boom. But the hope would be get off the lane, get off the line.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of any complaints on noise on Mildred.
Yeah. Okay.
I have had a bicyclist not like them because of that, but I've had bicyclists that like them. So, right. So I guess that's, Kenneth, you're going to run the meeting and ask questions.
Yeah, I was actually going to just start by, asking a couple of questions right off the bat. I guess just to clarify what the detail shows, looking at detail N, which does appear to split the page, by the way. We're talking about taking non-profiles, usually about 1/10 of an inch, if that's 120 mil, and we're taking that to 1/4 inch at 250 mil with about 2 feet-ish between bumps, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
So I guess my first question would be, looking at where we are currently using profiled lines versus not, currently we're putting them on center lanes, so I'm looking at those, you know, double yellows, those skip yellows, and, you know, skip lines.
Yeah, white skips.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about the difference between a car and a bike, the first thing that comes to mind is the separation. Is the thickness of the tire right? The separation between the rim and the bottom of the tire when it's inflated, right? So
on a bike or a car, I don't understand exactly what you're asking.
Yeah. So a tire on a bike, a tire on a car is about yay thick when inflated, if memory serves, give or take, versus a tire on a bike is a lot more. So, like, one of the safety concerns that comes up with skip, one of, like, the mechanisms behind that safety concern for bikes is that that's a much larger proportion of that rim depth, and so it's more likely to cause you to lose control in the air, and you also have a narrower wheel. So one thing that I've noted when this came up before is it seems like the city has just kind of flopped back and forth. Sometimes we use profiling on some lanes, sometimes we don't. And more than, like, interrogating our reasoning as to why we are using profile in some cases and not in others, we kind of just seem to follow the winds. Like, a bike group says this, and then we put profile in our bike lanes, and another bike lane, then another bike group comes and says, well, I hate this, and then we switch it back. So at least from my point of view, I'd like to avoid just being yet another example of this wind blowing us in a direction where another Cat C is going to come back again and change it back again. So I'd like this to be based on at least some, like, concrete reasoning as to, like, what are the benefits of using profiled striping to separate bike lanes? What are the cons of it? You know, have something in documentation so that if another Cat C comes back and revisits this issue, we have some questions to these answers already laid out. I kind of feel like we're just moving in a direction. That's where I'm starting. Yeah, comments.
Can we
can have a discussion.
A lot more questions,
yes,
and comments, and before we go to
of
them.
Course. That's perfectly appropriate. Yeah. Questions, comments,
yeah,
I said a lot.
Yeah, the one thing, profiles happen when we use durable striping. It's a methylmethaculate, which is kind of a plastic-sized marking. When we paint, like when these wear out and we have to come back and paint, we can't profile paint because it just doesn't. So I think staff's recommendation is to do profiling. And, because it does provide the thing. So that's our recommendation, but then also the question is do we profile everything?
Yeah, and John, your first response.
Yeah, and I think I agree, but it seems to me where, at least in our neighborhood association, it's on the major thoroughfares that it's really needed, rather than in neighborhoods. I don't know how people feel about that who are bike riders.
I mean, ridden,
like,
bikes on,
like,
in areas before, there's a big difference between, and I should also, I apologize, I won't interrupt because that actually does break the orders here. So, John, sorry, please continue with your thought.
Well, I'm sort of speaking for Swan, because they had a big discussion about this last night, and they really want the profiling. But most of the discussion was about Chemeketa, Commercial, and other major thoroughfares like South River Road. I don't know about the bike people, the people that are doing a lot of biking. I have a neighbor that's one of those. And one of the biggest complaints on major thoroughfares is when they ride down the middle of the street instead of in the bike lane.
When the bicyclists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're slower. And they
sometimes you also do have to get into the left turn lane.
Yeah, right. I understand.
I have a couple of comments and questions.
So anyway, I don't know whether there is a difference between major thoroughfares and then...
I definitely think that's an important point of discussion. I think we'll go Cheryl followed by Nathan.
So I'm a cyclist almost every day and everywhere. I think I would prefer to have them on all bike lanes. I sometimes ride on Fairview Industrial, which has fairly wide lanes. Sometimes, you know, on the weekends, it's not all that busy. And I'm riding along there thinking about this question. And yeah, even though there's less traffic, I want the bumpy, I want the rumble strip sound to protect me on that road also, not just on commercial. And I personally don't think the noise issue is a concern. Ditto. Sorry, I'm pointing at Kyle and what he said 10, 15 minutes ago. If you hit the bumps, you're going to get off them. You don't want to hear the bumps if you're driving. And another comment about what do cyclists think of the bumps. I don't find them to be a problem. However, I do notice, like, one of the places that has profiled bike lanes is by the hospital. And some of the ones that do exist are must be made of a different type of material. It's a bigger bump, and the ones that were installed
taller.
Okay. I think they're also wider. I mean, along the stripe, they're just bigger in all dimensions, and they're also crumbling. And so they must be made of a different type of material. That type, I don't want that type. I don't want to have to cross that on my bike or ride on it. Those are crappy, sorry, we're being recorded, crappy bumps.
Cheryl, when you say the hospital, are you talking about Winter Street or?
I believe it's Winter Street.
Winter that goes between Bellevue and Mission.
Is that perhaps age methylmercap?
It's a different, they're a different size and shape. And they have little grooves on them that are perpendicular to the bike lane.
Is that the old style?
Or they, and it, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong place.
So this is Winter.
Yeah. See, these are profiled. The left, you can see right in this area here. You can see some bumpy stuff. Yeah, as they wear out. I mean, this was probably done in 2000. Four or something. So, generally the methyl methacrylate will last as long as the road, pretty close. But when it does wear out, it kind of chunks off.
It just looks like there are a few places where there's older profiled bike lanes, and they seem to have been made differently. And if I'm not remembering the right place.
I
think that the issue is on Mission Street.
Mission Street is south.
That runs east west along the access to the
by the
park.
There's no bike lanes on Mission Street.
Yeah, we don't have bike lanes there. So
I was gonna look. On 17th, I don't remember if we
too far.
Did.
Yeah. Another drive.
You probably know where.
But then the other end's spot where there was just further down. Let's see what we have there. This was a different material. Okay, we don't have profiles on 17th. We do here in the stripe, and you can kind of see it a little bit. Okay. Yeah, we have some. I mean, generally our standard in the past was not, so most of the bike lanes are not going to have profiles on them. There are a few that we've done.
So I have one other question, just kind of stepping back, what's the process and timeline associated with these, I understand, proposed revisions? What, just a broad brush stroke?
So I've told the engineers that are going to be, this is going to go out for public review in the next few days or weeks. So during the public review, they're going to get comments and then, you know, change or not change based on the comments. So we have time to decide what we want to do. My hope is that we would do that tonight, because then I can make sure it gets done early. But if it had to go into the next meeting, we could do that as well. And again, if you get on the website, you can register and you'll get a chance to comment on that forum. So, like Victor, you guys can comment here and get on the website and comment when you get the plan sets as well.
I have a question.
John, thank you.
Yeah, I'll hit Nathan first, but then go to John. Then I'll probably want to swing over to at least get some of the public comment.
It was some years ago that I used to commute to work. I live out south, and I worked at for the state of Oregon, and riding on the higher traffic, higher speed streets, commercial being one, not having, and in those years, designated bike lanes, and was pretty exciting. So my recommendation from my perspective today would be to encourage a recommendation to transportation that major arterials have the bike markings with the texturing, streets like High Street and anything that is residential, whatever, that may have a bike line. I don't, just a painted line I think is fine, but for like 17th Street, absolutely having that driving by Braille encouraging process is a real plus.
Okay. And John?
Now I forgot what my question was. I guess, I'll let it go. I can remember now, but I'm not sure if...
I'll just make a comment really quickly to staff, and then I actually do want to get over to our commenters before taking more around the table. It sounds like a lot of what we're circling around at is, it sounds like the CATC's general opinion seems to be kind of centering in on maybe collector streets as being that cutoff line, where I think that all of the streets that people have called out specifically, that they're like the smaller non-arterials that folks are wanting to hit, I think they all still probably make the collector classification. 17th certainly does if it's not a minor arterial. So that could be our easy defining line.
I haven't really heard any consensus. There's been one or two opinions expressed about which streets, and I feel like there's a bunch of people we haven't heard from yet.
That is also true. I will take public comment first and then circle around. So a couple of points from those.
I'm Victor Godier. I'm the chair of SCAN's Transportation Committee, and here representing the SCAN, the South Central Association of Neighbors. We took the opportunity when we heard that this was going to be discussed as an opportunity to jump on the topic. We've been interested in how the bike lanes on South Commercial were going to be separated from the travel lanes, since that project really got started as a commercial vista developer, or Oxford Vista development plan, a decade ago. And we were sort of curious how it was going to be separated. Would there be some hard barrier? Once the price tag for the project came out, we could see it wasn't going to be a hard barrier because it just wasn't enough money to do that sort of thing. Were plastic bollards going to be used? You know, personally, I thought no, because that's a huge maintenance headache. And so the, you know, we were kind of, we were disappointed when we learned that, well, it's just a painted stripe. And yes, it is the methyl acrylic, but it doesn't really alert drivers that they're drifting into the lane. There's no rumble when they do that. And drivers, being a little on the careless side, kind of migrate back and forth. They have that rumble strip between the travel lanes and between the travel lanes and the center turn lane. And so when we had that discussion, we really didn't consider noise, because to some extent, noise is the point of it. You know, it's the oh, I'm in the wrong place. So, you know, we've since had a discussion amongst Transportation Committee members about the noise aspect, the tire noise aspect of it, and we really aren't concerned. We're more focused on the safety of cyclists, because if you have a crash between a vehicle traveling 30 miles an hour and a cyclist traveling 10 miles an hour, it's not looking good for the cyclist. On road, the arterial streets, speeds are a lot higher than the posted 30 miles an hour. It's often 40. Commercial is 40.
South River Road is 50.
At least 50. And so the more that we can help drivers remember where they're supposed to be driving, drive by Braille, the better. And we also kind of racked our brain for, you know, residential streets. At least within scan, there aren't any residential streets that are marked with bike lanes. Now there are, they're trying to remember if their bike lanes marked on Hoyt, which is a collector, but I don't believe so. And there are bike lanes marked on Fairview, which is another collector. But again, they tend to vary because the street tends to vary in width. The more warning that you're drifting, or even if you're following, you're not following the lane, the better. So that's where we and the Scan Neighborhood Association are, is just, we want bicyclists to be safe. We see the profiled markers as a safety measure to alert drivers if they're deviating from their lanes.
Anything to add, Benjamin?
Yeah, so I was at Morningside at the time I was on the board. I had to step down from the board and on the Planning Commission now. But so I drafted a motion and it ended up getting passed unanimously. I couldn't find a copy of the motion. The person that does our minutes was unavailable. But we really supported the idea that it really should be on all bicycle lanes, including residential streets, under the idea that if the city had determined that a bike lane was warranted on a residential street, it would be important, you know, traffic volumes or conditions, you know, required a bike lane, it is needed and it is important to keep that person out of the bike lane. Say if somebody drives over the rumbling and creates a noise, that means that the city put the rumble strips in the right spot, because if those weren't there, maybe somebody would have gone further into the bike lane and they would have hit somebody riding their bike. And I wanted to address a few of the comments. People are worried about, you know, people flip-flopping, and you know, I'm relatively new. I go into college and went to school at Oregon State for civil engineering, graduated, and I've been working at ODOT for about just over a year and a half. And you know, just from my personal observation, it seems like there's a pretty big shift in transportation engineering in general towards designing bike facilities that are kind of for every bike user. There I've heard them kind of classify as like interested but concerned, no way, no how, strong and enthused, or strong and fearless, or something like that. And really a small portion of riders are comfortable with riding in the, or small portion of people are comfortable with riding in the bike infrastructure that we have today. And, you know, it's shown by how many people we see using the bike lanes that we have. And, you know, standards have been updated federally to recognize this. ODOT has striped profiled bike lanes on recent projects. They recently repaved and redid Barber Boulevard in Southwest Portland. Their striping actually has two lines with striping profiling on them between the vehicle lane and the bike lane. I don't know if that would be necessary here, but you know, they're doing it on state highways. If we end up doing it on neighborhood streets, I think it, you know, if somebody determines that a bike lane is needed, I think it's important to keep people out of it. And then, you know, if I'm riding on a commercial, I don't have a car, I get around primarily by bike or by chariot or walk-in or whatever. And, you know, if I'm out at night on commercial and I'm riding down, you know, I can barely see the lines on the street. And it is pretty unnerving to me to be riding down the line, riding down the street at like 15 miles an hour and I can't see where the lines are. And there's people going by me at 40 miles an hour. And, you know, if somebody's leaving their lane and they are going to hit me, I would at least like the 2 second heads up so I can maybe get out of the way. But yeah, I think striping all the bike lanes is a great, great idea.
All right. Jacqueline, you've been waiting patiently.
First off, I think that having the line, the profile lines is a great way to avoid marriage counseling, so you're not telling your husband he's crossing the line. but in all seriousness, so the process of implementation, what we're talking about, is this just for any new bike lanes that we're putting in, or are we talking about gradually replacing all the bike lanes
this? It would be new bike lanes, or if we're striping bike lanes with permanent markings. So, like, redoing Commercial Street probably isn't going to happen, because that would be, it would have to, the existing durable markings would have to be removed and then reapplied. So that would be fairly expensive, but you know, what we would do is any new projects that were coming along, if we were doing, you know, paving projects, where we were doing new permanent markings would be part of that. Yeah, because the permanent markings are done by a shoe. So as the material's entered into kind of a box and the box rolls along, it's got like a place where extra material can be in it as it rolls along. So it lays it out. Painting is sprayed, and so there's just no way to spray a glob and have it set. So there would be limitations on this happening. It would take a long time for it to be everywhere, but having it in our standards would allow us to require it with development and require it with projects.
So it's likely that McGillcrest Street, when the next section is done, would get the profiled.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that said, people who are driving in neighborhood streets or riding their bikes in neighborhood streets, because the risk is less, so to speak, I think people tend to be a little more lackadaisical, whatever that word is, about it, and not as cautious because, oh, people aren't going however fast, which can cause, to me, danger, so to speak. And I personally see having consistency that if any new bike lane goes in, people know it's going to be the profile. So for cyclists, they know if it's new, and you'll all know because you ride all the time. You know what to expect. And I think it will raise awareness for all of us. Also, I think in the letter, e-bikes was brought up, and I could see why people would want to drive in this, ride their bicycles in the center of the road, because it actually says if you do not feel safe to ride in the bike lane, you ride, you take up the road and drive in the middle of the road so that people can see you. And I understand why people would do that instead of driving in a not wonderfully marked bike lane. And then, of course, money is always an issue. But those are my thoughts.
Yes.
Hi, Beth Schmidt. I have a couple questions about bike lanes, and I just want to address the fact that, yes, I'm the Safe Routes to School coordinator, so my priority is always going to be about school zones. And bike lanes are really vital. We're working really hard right now to teach students bicycle safety education in PE. And one of the first things I'd love to talk about are where our students could even go ride their bikes, which feels like not a lot of places, right? At the schools that I'm currently at, there's one, for the school I'm at right now anyway. My questions about this is specifically because I don't know, how do you determine where bike lanes need to go first, and where is the priority, and how is that determined, and are school zones a priority within that? Because I see you're talking about the big streets and everything like that, but also to Jackie's point, where people would pick to go in smaller neighborhoods that are slower and more calm, that bicyclists would pick that over the big streets that have the bike lanes. I've heard a lot of people say that to me. They wouldn't use the map that we hand out to go ride your bike around Salem or Kaiser because that's too dangerous for them. They would go through neighborhoods or something. So, I mean, I think that's interesting. Yes, I have done both things, but I feel like it's kind of random. I'm like, oh, there's a bike lane. Oh, ended. There's a bike lane. There's not. First, I just wonder, how is that determined? Because
So, the bike lane, so our standards are that all big arterial roads like Liberty, Commercial, Market, but all of the big roads that are 3 to 5 lanes.
Major and minor arterials. The difference is major has 5 lanes with bike lanes, minor arterial has 3 lanes with bike lanes, one in each direction, center arterial, bike lanes.
Those always have bike lanes. And then on a collector streets, it depends. They're identified in the transportation system plan. And then local streets generally have no bike lanes. We are going to be updating the transportation system plan, so there will be opportunities to look at where bike lanes are designated, where they aren't, and reviewing that, and reviewing where bike lanes go. So that will be a future, probably in a year or so, a future CATC discussions that you guys will be able to look at, because we're going to be going through that planning process, and it's going to go all the neighborhoods and everything, so we're going to have lots of discussions on it. But, you know, when the TSP, the Transportation System Plan, comes in front of us to look at reviewing it, you guys are going to get a chance to comment on that as well.
And we wouldn't put bike lanes in a residential neighborhood, because that would remove all of the on-street parking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You couldn't park in front of your own house.
But what if it was considered in a school zone? Could that be, prioritized?
And that's, again, would be comments to make in the TSP.
So that's a question then. How are those neighbors going to? People are very protective about their on-street parking.
I understand.
School zone or no school zone, I mean, people park in front of their house. People come and pick up their kids, and they park in the bike lanes to pick up their kids.
We've
been there. We've seen that. So it doesn't matter whether there's bike lane there or not. It's going to get parked in.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's a
separate discussion. Sorry.
It's a discussion that can happen. And the place to do that would be in the TSP review.
Well, I just would welcome that, because you're prioritizing drivers, right? Always, you're going to prioritize drivers over cyclists and children being able to get to and from school safely on a bike. And we're stating the obvious that, a driver feels maybe more entitled to get to wait in the bike lane to pick up their child from school. But how do you change that culture? and how do you normalize it so that drivers are aware and they are respectful of children who should be allowed and deserve an opportunity to ride their bike to and from.
And we're not going to resolve that in this meeting.
No, but so. I would like to plant that seed amongst all of you now. How about that?
Okay.
If I may make a, before I then kick back to public comment again, I apologize, yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to reiterate a couple things that have been said. So the audibleness, in the case of speed abatement, obviously the point is make noise to slow you down. But in this case, like you said, you hit it, you know you're in the wrong place and you would stop. So to me, that's acceptable, right? The noise issue is not a deterrent. I agree with Cheryl's comment, you know, if you're going to, and Ben, is that right?
Yes.
If you're going to have bike lanes, it should be consistently treated. So if it's decided the street needs a bike lane, then it seems like the profiling makes sense. And I did want to say that I do appreciate on commercial the that buffer zone, that there's the two things, and that makes a huge difference as a motorist in terms of, because I don't cycle, but I see that there's just this between me and the cars, and the buffer zone makes a huge psychological difference as a motorist, and I hope it does for bicyclists as well, and not just a perception, but an actual safety additive. So I just wanted to make those few comments to reiterate a couple of things that have been said.
I will just make a couple of comments very quickly so I can kick it back to public comment and also try to get us out of here as close to on time as possible. First, I would have just a broad question. We do have these details for something that isn't just a striped bike lane, right? We have these broader dividers, and I would wonder, understanding that there are geometric constraints and that your road cost section has to be what it does, were there thoughts given in the remodeling of commercial, instead of just putting in a bike lane, maybe taking some space out of that center median, again, giving more thought to the process of maybe don't do everything completely car-driven all the time. Sure, people like having that refuge lane, but if you could make that less, if you could shave some space off and maybe put in a separated bike lane, find an extra foot of cross-section, and so that, you know, there is not just, you know, the 4-inch line, but maybe some extra space, or maybe even adopting a modified version of this detail M and allowing for a narrow section double stripe that maybe has a minimum width of, say, 6 inches, so that there is just a more meaningful separation, because I have a concern with putting in profile striping that if we're not going out and doing maintenance on them more regularly, and we're not guaranteeing that they're going to be replaced with non-painted or with MMA striping, we could be putting in something that'll be in good condition for 10 years and then it'll be replaced with paint as you go through and do your routine maintenance. So it could be kind of a waste of public funds if we're not guaranteeing that it's going to be coupled with ongoing maintenance to keep that profiling there. Could be solving the problem for a short amount of time.
Could you answer that? I thought you said that new projects or rebuilding a project would just go with the whatever the decision is.
We don't have the ability to we don't have equipment to do the durable striping. So when we come back to do maintenance on it, it would be paint.
Or it would have to be contracted out in all cases, which is the most practical.
It would likely have to be removed, ground out, mm-hmm. and replaced,
and relayed, yeah.
because you can't put it. You can't put that new stuff on old stuff where it's going to pop off.
Yeah, right. The nice thing about the durable striping is, you know, except where cars drive over it a lot, it can last 20 years. It can last almost as long as the pavement.
I've definitely seen roads that haven't been surfaced in the last 20
years.
Yes,
but the busier roads will more likely, the lower classified streets less likely to get done. But there's just no way for us to do it with our maintenance. We would have to, if we're going to do it that way, we would have to contract it out, and that would be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, and I do seriously think it would be worthwhile to consider, in addition to this profile striping, maybe having a modified version of M that allows for a narrower for a narrow section, because frankly, space is as much a friend to cyclists as that audible warning, or frankly, why not both? Those would be my thoughts to just throw out there, but I'm going to kick over to our scan chair again.
I had a question, and that was the lifespan of durable pavement marking, and I think you've answered that. So it's as long as the pavement surface itself. I will observe that South Commercial, at least between downtown and Oxford Street, the beginning of the new project, is already in poor condition, and it was repaved, I believe, a decade ago.
Yeah, that hasn't lasted very long, but yeah, the striping might last longer.
That sounds about right.
That's what's holding the road together.
So I guess my question is, first is, I'd like a vote on who wants profile.
Or does Katia want to make a motion to support profile in all conditions?
Can I start with maybe just a general consensus around? Is there a general consensus with CATSI that we want to at least adopt something related to requiring profiled, not even necessarily universal or not universal, just CATSI as a body, do we generally feel that we want to see profiled bike lanes?
Yes.
Cool. So then it seems like we have a consensus to move in a direction. So I'll take a motion. How do people want to go about this?
I would make a motion that we direct transportation to require profiling on the installation of all new bike lanes.
I second that motion. Jackie seconds that.
Perfect. Well then, in favor?
Comments, please.
Yes, discussion.
Discussion, sorry.
The only thing I would add just on that is, because it was brought up, not only new construction, but replacement construction. So like if you have to tear up 17th Street and you're going to repave it anyway, then you pave it with the box.
Yeah, it would be all new
striping.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. However that wording is for you guys, whatever that wording is, with striping, bumping, I don't know. But that should be in our motion,
I would second the friendly amendment.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no. Accept it as friendly. Any other points of discussion from among the CATSI members?
I have a comment. Okay, really smart people to figure this stuff out. Why can't we leave it to their discretion?
Because the default, what the standards were several months ago, is not what this group is in fact
requesting.
And it happens that staff has the same opinion, but the standards didn't have the profiling. Mm-hmm. That's why I raised the question. I live near Southeast Commercial. I try not to ride on it. I do funky back ways, but I do ride on it some, and it needed to be changed, in my opinion. And I think I personally, and I don't know about anyone else, didn't know where staff stood as of 3 months ago, and so didn't know if it was going to be like CATSI trying to outvote, you know, staff, or if we would all be on the same page. We just didn't know until we had the discussion. So, with hindsight, maybe you're right, but that's not the route we got here.
Right. Well, it's being required now instead of a discretionary decision.
Well,
that's the recommendation.
And that's the best way to do it, because staff, when we get plans to review, we want to have something that's adopted, because developers will want to do
the cheapest,
the minimum. Mm-hmm.
Not all, but they want to follow standards. So if we want to have it, it's been non-profiled in the past and nobody's really said anything, doesn't mean it doesn't need to change.
Mm-hmm. Here, so, Kevin, I don't work for the city. I feel comfortable saying on the record, don't trust developers to do anything above the bare minimum that is in the drawings.
Yep.
So This is less to do with trying to force the city's hand on doing anything and more to ensure that when people do subdivisions and such in the future, that we actually get what we want out of it.
Oh, correct. And that's why I feel like it should be left to the discretion of the city.
Yeah.
But city staff, even though it's, you know, staff discretion, we do value you guys.
Jackie Roche talking. Also money talk, I think. And so if there is an option, having the people from the community come and, you know.
I think you're really helping the city if you, with the staff, if you're providing requirements, not just it's up to you. Because then they get cross-pressured by developers, by commission, by councilors, and a variety of other people. And I think we need to set standards, and they need to meet the profiles of the standards.
And just to give a mild peek behind the curtain, I am staff for a different municipality. I actually lean on commissions like this a lot in my other job because there's nothing quite like the clamor of citizens to make it easier for you to make your own decisions. In this case, we're actually giving staff the leeway to exercise their best judgment. That's part of our role here as this commission. So I have been grateful in the past for support of this kind when it is available. It's actually extremely helpful.
Okay.
But yes.
Can I bring up a new topic of discussion?
Probably finish the vote on this.
Yeah, we have to finish this on this one first.
I just don't know when to ask for that. Making sure.
Yeah, no. If I'm happy to ask for a motion to close discussion if that's desired.
No, no.
Call the question.
Sure. Cool. Discussion closed. Aye.
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 All right.
Any opposition?
Well, okay, so it's vote. That was closing the discussion.
Oh, okay.
Closing
okay.
the discussion. Now the vote.
Yeah. No. I'm going to say now. I'm going to call for. The motion as worded was requiring profiled MMA on all bike lanes to be both new and to be, or both those that are going to be maintained and those that are going to be put in new. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Yes. Correction. Kevin was very clear in that maintaining an existing textured or profiled stripe was not possible. It could only be painted only when the pavement is replaced and new striping is going in. Can you put in the profiled stripe?
Well, then I suppose that does become a question. Do we want to make it explicit that it's that we're only going to require the replacement of degraded MMA and when it's connected to resurfacing, or if a street doesn't wind up being resurfaced for a long period of time, are we fine with leaving it in its degraded state and painted over?
Can I try to simplify? Yeah. I would say vote for line, what's the bike lane marking, O. That O is profiled instead of non-profiled. Because then staff will always, where we have an opportunity, this is what everybody uses when they're designated their markings. Mm-hmm. So right now it says non-profiled. So when they identify O on a plan, it will now say profile. So if you adopt that.
Yes.
I'm happy with
O
that.
That is correct.
This,
so
then we will
we're voting to change the language under O.
Yeah.
Okay.
Change O to profile.
Is that right?
Perfect. I like that. Okay.
Do you accept that friendly amendment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Then all in favor of swapping O from saying non-profile to profile, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposition nay. Cool. Passes. We are running late, but I will give you still a moment. What is your second topic that you'd like to ask?
One thing that I'm really passionate about is our students getting safely to and from school. That's why I wanted to sit on this school commission a little bit. I don't know if any of you are aware, but we have had 3 students hit by cars so far this school year in the crosswalk.
It's not.
Nobody is aware of that. And it's the most interesting thing to me, isn't it? I don't know how we could go about talking about that or fixing that or what we could do. I'm hopeful that people would be just as upset about it as I am, or as a parent whose child was hit by a car on their way to school. So far, it's been mostly pedestrians. Last year, it was students riding their bicycle to school. And I don't think the public knows. Maybe parents know when they find out. But, you know, there's a police report taken, but no one's telling the public how often that's happened. There isn't data that's recorded on this, which I'm hopeful to get that changed this year, too. However, I think as members of the CATC committee, commission, we hold part of the responsibility of also making sure that what we decide on, what we hopefully approve or fix here, is to help students get to school safely. And I'm new to my job, but I have a learning curve. It's crazy. But I care about how the students are getting to school. If there is a way that we can increase them to get there safely, I would hope that we could do that together here. So I welcome ideas and suggestions and anything that we could do together.
You need to have a conversation with the reporter for the Statesman Journal.
I have already have.
Perfect.
And
yeah.
I was in the paper on December 31st. Yeah. I've already done that.
Yeah. No, that the making sure that that becomes public knowledge so that it's dispersed.
The problem is who's reading the paper. I'll be quite honest with you. How is information disseminated to the public? Do you read the paper, or what age group of people get their information? That's the hardest part, is talking about it and going to all these different places and how people get their information. And that proves to be rather challenging.
We had a child at Fay Wright Elementary consistently from 1978 through 1993, and all five of them walked to school.
Mm-hmm. My children walked there too when we moved over.
We're familiar with the topic.
So. I mean, I don't really care for Idlewood and people going up there so fast, but my point being that, you know, children, whether they have a decision or not, should be able to walk to school safely, but parents aren't going to let them do that when infrastructure doesn't necessarily support that and they think it's not safe. So that's a big challenge I have, is trying to educate students how to do it. But if parents feel unsafe, they're not going to allow their children to do that. But maybe that's an opportunity for us to have a conversation with how we could make that better so that parents could let their kids try it out every once in a while. But as it is right now, drivers are kind of distracted and they're not seeing children maybe.
Well, I'll take this opportunity just to say that I think within CATC, our the mechanism that we could pull on here is, A, we could make this a topic for a future agenda to discuss in more detail at that time, and also there are certain transportation-related documents that we do have a role in reviewing. We can certainly take a look, particularly to make sure that I'm somewhat surprised that part of Safe Routes to School, and again, this could be my lack of knowledge of how it's specifically implemented here in Salem. Safe Routes to School ought to include a bike safety component, and perhaps it does, perhaps it doesn't. I know that like ODOT keeps a pretty good log of all sorts of accident data, so you want to know someone who's been hit by a car, a student, an adult, whoever, ODOT does know. Whether or not they will share it with you in a timely fashion is another matter. Apologize to the ODOT employee, but you guys are notorious at never giving out information.
I understand.
Yeah, real quick, continuing kind of on that is we're getting comments from our upper management to expand CATSI's role a little bit. So we're going to be starting to work with you guys on some ideas to do more here. You know, in the past, you guys were mainly a body that dealt with oppositions, complaints, neighbor-to-neighbor issues, and things like that. And then we would throw in some learning opportunities where interests were. I think there's a desire to do more bike ped review, more review of other things. So as I get more direction from above, and we start kind of looking at stuff, we will be talking about your roles and how that can expand and
if you're looking for some examples of more activist types, CATC / a lot of other municipalities call them just the CTACs as well. Portland Metro has 10,000 of these kinds of city committees and all the ones I'm aware of tend to take a more active role than CATC, so they could be some good models for what a more typical level of engagement might look like. We don't have to go with like Gresham, but there are a bunch of, you know, moderate to fit-sized municipalities in the area that are good examples from the audience. Sorry, Benjamin.
Benjamin Freiberg speaking. So there is a resource that's called the Initial Fatal Crash Information Viewer.
I get the chairs.
And it lets you view crash information sooner than before it's finalized. It's not like 100% done, because it takes us ODOT about 2 years to process data and stuff, but you can go on there and you can look at initial reports of fatal crashes. I think it goes back to 2022, because that's when I think we haven't, or ODOT hasn't.
Okay, we all know there are fatal crashes. Yeah. We know there's a problem with student ped and bicycles. Mm-hmm. What we have not talked about, and I haven't heard from anybody here, including
Beth.
Mm-hmm. Is what are some of the plans that somebody, either in other jurisdictions or people that your group has thought about, that actually could be adopted and put into place in a management way, so we have a transportation system that takes care of that problem. But I've not, and I, you know, you've talked to our neighborhood association, and I know you do a good job with that. Everybody agrees with you, but where's the plan?
Well, I don't have a transportation background. Let me just first say that.
I understand, but what I'm saying here is I don't hear a plan. Maybe there is one somewhere out there. In some city or some town or who knows where.
I assume there's a component in the TSP that would be more illustrative of this.
I mean, that may be some stuff that it gets worked in with the
I have not seen
planning.
It in the TSP.
Yeah, it's just starting. So
perhaps CATC might want to, part of our expanded roles, we might want to take a more active role at actually looking through the TSP and making sure that our various priorities are being adopted within it, since... Goodness gracious, this is a very diverse group of people with a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different priorities. This is, at least my gut says this is not a bad cross-section
of
the city.
As CATC members, you guys are always free to reach to Tony or myself, and we're happy to, you know, if you have interest in anything or, you know, questions about where things are, we can help get you to it.
Well, I think at one of our meetings, somebody has to come in and talk about how would we solve this issue? What can the city transportation staff do to help us solve this problem?
Number one is money. Jeff.
Well, I was going to say, honestly, with the first caveat of being putting aside any discussion of funding at those conversations, it's just educate us on what are the solutions out there. Right. Give us information.
Exactly. Okay.
A good, better, best kind of idea.
Yeah. And then, frankly, we can boot that question to staff after we've discussed it. The staff and the city council will actually hold the purse strings to actually look at it, but frankly, you know, if we limit ourselves by the funding that's available, we won't solve much of anything, because that's the reality of municipalities.
But I do know that the general public is very much in alignment with you. They just have no, how are we going to do this? Now, I don't either. Maybe you guys do, but...
If we knew, we would have already dealt with it. Okay. So.
I think that's the beauty of right now. This is a unique time in Salem, is for everybody to be on board and to decide that we can do it together as a community to help our fellow citizens and children. And I think that's where the commonality, that we are all in it together and we care about one another. And
Good. And
I think what a great opportunity to go forward.
Well, I think this has been excellent conversations. We are at 20 minutes over time, so I think we're going to have to call it. But I do appreciate everyone's time, and thank you to the public for showing up.
As a former public manager, I need to see plans. I need to see structure. I need to find out how something would work or not work.
Why you want to get used to?
I couldn't imagine it.
And I think they do too.
I was
on the bike lane. The secret answer is